Welcome to the Mostly Potter at Night. Mostly, I am Salem, joined by my co-host Graveyard.
Hello.
This is episode 93 for our weekly All Things Horror podcast. Just what do the victims of the Antichrist see when Damien gives them the evil eye? The world may never know. This week, we are covering the first three films in the Omen franchise. The later films seem to have forgotten to finish the script, but we are here to try to put together the Apocrypha and decode exactly what these quasi-religious movies are trying to say. So yeah, we're going to be doing the whole Omen franchise, which is six films right now. We're going to break those up, so we're not going to do 2 weeks of just three Omen films. We're going to do 1 week of the Omen films, then we're doing other stuff, then we're doing the Omen films again. So, yeah, so these are just the first three, but we will get to the final three, just you're going to have to wait another week.
Right, we'll call this the Damien trilogy.
Sure.
Well, spoilers, he's not in number four.
Well, he's not in the fourth one, but he's in the other. Well, no, I think that the first Omen is before him, right?
Or something. It is.
Yeah. But I think he's supposed to be in the second one because the second one of this second trilogy is a reboot, right?
Yes. 2000 came out June 6th, 2006 for 666.
Yeah. There's some big names in that movie.
Oh, absolutely.
I've never seen it. I was just looking at the cast and I was like, "Wow, that's there's like I'm surprised like I never heard of, well I think I heard of it coming out I just didn't care because I'm not a big fan of the Omen I'm not a big fan of the Omen franchise in general. The only one I've really ever seen is the first one, and I don't think I've ever watched it, the whole thing. I just seen like most of it, but not missing much from what I've seen so far, but that's okay. we'll start off so I will do the first one here, right? And then you will do the second one.
Yes.
I may have forgot to change that. There we go. Okay, so I will start off with the Omen. The first one came out in 1976.
Yes.
It's older than me. Just saying something. we start off in a hospital. There is a guy who is, a politician. I don't know. At that time, I don't think they really say what he is, but, you know, kind of sort of an important person anyway. So his wife is in the hospital giving birth to a baby. Her baby dies, or so he is told by the hospital that his baby died. But there's this other baby that was, you know, the mother died in childbirth, had no family, no religion, you know, looks kind of sort of like you. Here, you should just take this baby instead.
Just take the baby.
Yeah, just take this baby.
1971, what are you?
And he's like, are you sure? Like, you know, there's nobody's going to miss this baby. There's no family. They're like, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. You know, like the evilest of priests looking guy. I was like, no, it's fine. Just take this baby. So they take the baby, and they raise the baby, and then, there's not a whole lot that happens as a baby. Only we get some story beats that, like, he gets promoted to be the, ambassador, to the UK for the US. So they move to London, and, you know, a very, like, kind of famous, prominent position to be in, right? So now he's, like, you know, super important and, you know, political power and all that stuff. So of course they hire a nanny that takes after their child, and then they just pretty much ignore him.
Oh yeah.
it really feels like to me like they just ignore the child. Like they're just living their lavish, you know, rich people, important people life, and they just could care less. But I guess that's the way things used to be for rich folks back in the old days.
I mean, it doesn't help the dad's also like 60.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is an older film. The guys are always old. The women just raise children. That's all.
Yeah.
We kind of fast forward to where Damien, which is the baby's name, fast forward to, he's like, what, six, kindergarten age is when most of this film takes place.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and his sixth birthday, He has a big old party. You know, they live in like an old like manor house.
Huge in London. House.
Yeah. Giant. They have like, you know, grounds and everything. Anyway, so they have this big, huge party. There's clowns there and all kinds of, you know, fancy stuff. Anyway, so the kid is like playing and the nanny is like, the kid should come with me. You know, he should be over here. And the mom is kind of like, I care today. Because this is birthday. A child and there's other people around. So right. I want to.
It's birthday. Yeah. Right. Paparazzi
so,
are there.
Yeah. So I have to be with the child today. Like, you can't be with the child today. And so she gets upset. She goes back in the house and then goes on the roof of the house, ties a noose around her neck and say, it's Damien. All for you, Damien. Yeah. It's all for you. And then proceeds to hang herself off the roof of the house.
As you do.
As you do.
Right.
Of course. Which is odd. And of course, you know, the party ends. We get a little bit of an introduction to the photographer guy, who is another kind of character that you'd think would be important, but really isn't. I mean, I guess kind of. He changes act two. But,
yeah.
But yeah, anyway, he's a reporter of some kind, but more of a photographer. But in the later films, they say he's a journalist. But
sure.
They really don't say that in this movie, just a photographer. Anyway, so we also kind of meet up this other priest guy who's like trying to meet with the dad, you know, trying to like say, hey, I got, you know, tell you some stuff. And he's like, okay. And he proceeds to like ramble on about this, you know, your kid's a bad kid. You got to go talk to this guy. You know, you got to do something about it. He's like, yeah, whatever. Get out of here.
Right.
The photographer guy takes a picture of the priest. And that's about it. The next thing is they got a new governess. Instead of a nanny, now they have a governess. Who is very no-nonsense, I guess like old school, kind of like anti-Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Very like disciplined. Anyway, and now Damien also has a Rottweiler, I guess, a hellhound.
Oh, it is a hellhound. Let's call it a hellhound.
Well, I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. And whenever he looks at the hellhound, there's weird dog fart noises that happen.
Mm-hmm. So that means their elbow up in the synthesizer.
Yeah, that means that they're linked in some way. So now the governess is like his caretaker, and the hellhound is there to like protect him. The hellhound goes in and out of the house. The dad doesn't like the dog, and you know, the governess kind of sort of lies to him, but like still leaves the dog in there all the time anyway. But the parents are never really around anyway, so they really can't, you know, lay down too much law because they're never there to enforce it. So anyway, so that happens. The governess comes in. The governess comes in. The dad guy kind of goes off to, you know, do his busy, you know, London schedule, right? Because he's an ambassador, whatever. The governess kind of takes over. It's pretty obvious that the governess is, you know, one of the, I don't know, satanic caretakers. I don't know what you want to.
I mean, we view it as obvious now. Maybe in 1976 they didn't, because that's like a twist at the end.
Right. But anyway, so when the photographer guy is developing the pictures of the priest, he sees like there's this weird like kind of, I guess anomaly where it's like this big looking like, I don't know, line goes like through his body.
Yes.
And it happens in more than one picture because he took a bunch of pictures. He's like, oh, this is really weird. And then later on, you know, the priest tries to like corner the ambassador again. Like, I really have to talk to you. You have to meet me in this park at this time. I really have something to tell you. The photographer guy is there, asked to take a picture of him again. And when he develops that picture again, he sees the same line through him. Like the same thing, like it's not really there, but it shows up in the pictures. He's like, oh, this is really weird. So anyway, so the dad goes to meet the priest in the park. He like basically like has this like odd, I don't know, freak out. I don't know why people can't be calm when they're telling you bad things. But
he's the devil.
Yeah, basically saying your son is the Antichrist. You have to murder him. Like, yep. and that's it. And go talk to this guy. He'll tell you how to murder him. And so the guy's like, okay, get out of here. Like, this is too much.
Right.
So the dad just kind of walks away, like, whatever. And then the priest, you know, is then attacked by a wind and storm.
Mm-hmm.
Runs back to the church. And I guess it's kind of the one of the more famous scenes is the priest gets impaled by the lightning rod that falls off the top of the church. And that's the first of, like, the, I'll call them Final Destination murders.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of them.
The photographer is seeing death. Yes.
There's a lot of them that happen in this film. But all of these films, really. But it's, yeah, it's like weird things happen to, like, you know, accidental deaths as a result. So that happens. The dad doesn't know about that. But the photographer guy contacts him, tells him about it, and then says, hey, you got to come with me to his apartment. Like, you got to see this. He's like, okay. So he goes with him to the apartment. The apartment is like a psychopath's apartment. He's got like pages of the Bible like plastered all over the walls, like as if it's like armor for the walls, the windows, everything. There's all these crucifixes. Some of them are like normal, like made, you know, fashioned crucifixes. Some of them are just like two pieces of wood stuck together. I mean, they're just like everywhere, all over the place. And he's like, oh, you know, this is, you know, weird, but like all of this evidence points to your kid really is the Antichrist, you know? So he's like, you got to go talk to this guy. And he's like, you know, did he tell you who he was? Because he read his diary and he did, I guess he didn't write down the guy's name. He just told the dad the name. He was at that time, I think he remembered, but he didn't want to say it because he didn't want to be that directly involved or he didn't believe it yet, I guess.
Right.
So then he's like, well, you know, in order for him to find out if he's the Antichrist or not, we got to find the symbol 666. It's all over, you know, it's going to be somewhere on his body. And he's like, well, you know, I bathed him as a baby. Like I would have known if they had a birthmark. And he's like, oh, maybe it was on his head. Did you look at his hair?
Babies don't have hair.
Yeah. I'm like, like you wouldn't have noticed a birthmark in their hair. Like whatever. We'll just, you know, trot right by that one. But obviously he goes, okay, he goes home. And he like cuts the hair of his kid in the middle of the night and he sees this, you know, 666 birthmark on his head. Oh no, scary, right?
Yep.
So then he's like, okay, yeah, my kid's evil. I'm leaving. There's another scene, I guess I left out, that they go to a wedding at a church and the kid like flips out because he doesn't want to go to the church.
Right.
Which I guess we're supposed to like, oh, he's evil. That's why he doesn't want to go to the church.
Well, another scene was before this, they went to the zoo with his mom and baboons attacked the car.
Oh, well, I mean, baboons attacked the car. You ever been to the drive-thru zoo before?
Well, I'm saying everyone loves that scene too. So.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, again, I've been in a drive-thru zoo. Animals attack your car. Whether you're the Antichrist or not, they attack your car. I've been in a car that's been like, you know, almost knocked over by a buffalo that was angry. I ran out of treats. So like, I mean, yeah, stuff happens in a drive through zoo. Like don't drive through a zoo if you're scared of animals.
Right.
Anyway. So,
well then I think before he leaves, the wife has the accident too.
Well, he leaves, he's not at home, but he's not in Israel yet.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, he's not at home. The wife is like, has also figured out that the kid is the Antichrist simply because like, you know, she feels it now. Like all these weird things are happening. He's, you know, he's bad, evil kid. You know, we need to do something. She's, you know, kind of, I hate to use the word hysterical, but.
To the point where she's like, I don't want their kid. I'm pregnant. I'm having an abortion.
Right. Yeah. Like this is like, I don't want to deal with this shit again.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, so the dad's like all wrapped up in work, like she's at home alone with the kid. The kid like tries to knock her off the balcony with his tricycle, and is kind of like, you know, the governess is kind of like spinning the wheels and then like letting it go, right? I mean, she's basically like making it happen.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, he knocks her like, you know, off this balcony, a ridiculous fall, and then she ends up in the hospital. At this point, this is where the dad is like now convinced that the okay, it's the Antichrist. I have to do something. That's what he calls his wife, like, leave the baby or leave the kid with the governess. Just, you know, go with my friend. He's going to help you. And then she doesn't get a chance. She basically gets murdered in the hospital.
Yep.
Thrown out the window. So now he's like, oh, I got to go do something. So I got to go talk to this Bugenhagen guy.
Mm-hmm.
So the journalist guy comes with him because now he took a picture of himself in the mirror, and now he sees a picture, like a spike of something going through him. So like, he's like, I'm involved now. So like, now, if I don't help you, I'm going to die too. So he goes there and then dies. decapitated by a big piece of glass.
Which is rated some of the worst scenes in horror movies because it's so obvious a dummy head thrown it's over bad. The glass well before the glass even hits the thing.
I wouldn't say it's as bad as the mannequin in the second one, but it is definitely up there.
Yeah.
It is not good. Anyway, so the dad meets with this Bugenhagen guy and he gives him 7 knives. Now this is important for the next couple movies. He gives him 7 knives and he says that in order for you to kill the Antichrist, you have to bring him to hallowed ground, which means a church, and you have to stab him with these 7 knives in the shape of a cross. So there's 7 knives so that, you know, it'd be one in the middle, one on the top, one on each side, and then 2 down to make the cross.
Yep.
He's like, that's what you have to do to end this nightmare, you know, here you go. And the Bugenhagen does not come with him. Bugenhagen stays in Israel, even though he's like the church guy. He's an exorcist. Like he's the one guy that could like help him. Nope. He's going to stay there. You're on your own, dude.
Hey, good luck.
Yeah. So he goes back to the house. He basically has, he locks the demon dog in the basement. He fights the governess, who's like, you know, biting him and, you know, doing everything she can to try to save the kid. She ultimately fails. She gets killed, but not before damaging him a bit. So he grabs the kid. Everything was fine, but of course he blows through the gate and signals the police guarding the gate. Oh, something must be wrong. The guy broke through the gate.
Yep.
So he goes to a church. He brings the kid into the church. And he brings out a dagger. He's going to stab him for the first time. The police break into the church and shoot him. Child survives. We see the child with his uncle from the back. So we don't know who like they are, but it's basically setting up the next film is that Damien is still alive and his parents are both dead.
Yes.
End of movie.
Yes.
Like I said, there's a couple of stupid scenes I left out because it's just building up that, oh, this kid's bad kid.
Yes, yeah, when they go to the cemetery, it. Like, oh, this is my son, my real son's buried. He was murdered. And the mother, you know.
Was a dog.
Was a dog, yeah.
Which they don't say anything about in this film, but they do talk about the father's
a jackal, too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they talk about it in the next two, but they don't talk about it in this one. They just go, oh, that's weird. It's a dog. That's it. No other information.
Yes. So what are your first thoughts on this? Or rewatch for you?
I mean, this is the first time I'm watching it, like, A to B, like, beginning to end. I don't know. I mean, I think it's overhyped. I mean, it's people talk about it. To me, it feels like it's like a Conjuring type of movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where, like, I think you have to be invested into what this movie is trying to sell you in order for you to care. And I'm not invested in it. So I really don't. I really don't see this as a scary film in any way.
Yeah. This is definitely a rewatch, but it's been, I don't know, 25 years since I watched this last. It's been a long time. Let's go with that. I mean, yes, it is very, very Conjuring-esque. For it being, you know, religious movie, it's not as religious as The Exorcist, by far.
No. I mean, but again, I think The Exorcist was just more religious simply because they had more priests talking to each other. You know what I mean? I think that's why it was more of like, you get some vision like inside the church.
Yeah.
To where this one doesn't, you don't really get that. Because we get like one, well, I guess Bugenhagen is technically a priest, but you get like, what, three priests?
Right. And it's nice all that the family's not religious. They even mention that to the priests multiple times. Like, yeah, that's your faith. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I guess I forgot about the part where they find out where they go to the hospital where the kid was born and it had burned down. Then they go find like the one remaining guy who survived the fire that was the priest that gave him the baby. And that guy was like, whatever, he wouldn't talk. He like took a vow of silence or whatever.
He was doing his penance, yeah.
Yeah. And he wrote down the name of the cemetery that they went to see his dead baby and the dog is his mom.
Yep.
Yeah, I bring that up simply because, I'll talk about some of that later, but yeah, but I think that was the only real part I missed there. That was in between them, before he goes to Bugenhagen, like right before that
point. Right. I mean, but for me, after we watch all The Exorcist, this wasn't as heavy-handed, like religion-wise.
No, I mean, yeah, it's not really heavy-handed. It's just like I think it relies on you being in that mindset to be like a scary movie,
right? And for us it means nothing to us.
Right, yeah. To me it's like, okay, it's a kid. Like, oh, it's an evil kid. Oh no, a child. I'm yeah. not scared of a child.
Yep. You want to do your highlights first?
Sure.
Okay.
I will say I liked what she said, it's all for you, and then hung herself. Because I was confused, because I'm like, okay, like, you're not fired. You're still the nanny. Why did you do that? I don't understand what the purpose of that was. But, okay. I really appreciated the way that they, you listen to the show before, you know, I complain a lot about child acting. This one, they didn't hinge the movie on the child's acting, which I was thankful for.
Right. They covered his speech for the most part.
Right. I think like this is like a lost art that I think modern filmmakers need to like go find again, because like they act around the child, you know? Yeah. Like when, you know, they're driving up to the church, you know, they're saying, the mother's like, oh my God, he's trembling. Why is he so scared? And the kid's just laying there, right?
Yeah.
The kid doesn't have to sell anything. It's built into the script what is happening, you know? And so like, and all of these things that are happening, you just have the kid looking, or the kid smiling, or the kid like frowning, right? Or the kid screaming or laughing. That's it. Like, it doesn't rely on the child delivering lines. And that's, I think, what's good, I do appreciate that about this film, is that they, you know, I think that's a lost art. I think they really need to rediscover that. I did like the crazy priest's room. I thought that was pretty cool. I did appreciate the investigation part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, where they had to like, you know, they keep finding clues and, you know, looking for things. I thought that was an interesting kind of thing there. I mean, obviously that decapitation was hilarious. But I mean, it's ridiculously bad. I don't know. But it was very funny. I laughed a lot. But anyway, you can go ahead with your highlights. That's all I got.
I completely agree. They acted around the child, and I don't think English was his language anyway. First language. And like I said, they muted his speech, right? Like, oh, he is talking, but there's noise going on. There's dogs barking. There's baboons howling, whatever you want to call it, right? So it's nice. And, you know, he's just a good boy. The dog did nothing wrong. Being a hellhound, sure, but he was just protecting his master. He's a good boy. They didn't kill him. They didn't kill the dog, so.
No, they just locked him in a basement. I appreciated that.
And none of the dogs died at the cemetery. They're all attacked, too, so.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it's kind of a mystery. Like I said, I like that it wasn't slapping in the face like Catholicism can save you or Christianity has to save you. It's like, no, it's like parents just don't believe it. Anyone at, you know, face value, like, your kid's evil. Why? 'Cause I said, no. Like, it took the dad a very long time to come to that realization.
Yeah, it was like, he didn't really fully, like, buy into it until he found the mark on the kid.
Right. Let me go to main continent Europe and go to the Middle East before I think, okay, maybe he's evil.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's interesting that you could take the abortion discussion two different ways of, A, they're showing that they're heathens and that she's so bad she wants to have an abortion. But, you know, for 1976, to have that out loud in the movie, pretty rare, even for 1976. You know, we discussed that with, like, you know, 1973's Black Christmas. That is a rarity to even have that discussion in a movie. And, you know, it's 3 years later and still a rarity, I think.
That's a rarity, yeah, but it was definitely, like, heavy on people's minds at that time.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, if your kid was the devil, I mean, you might second guess another kid.
Yeah, I get that.
And I do like the photographer. He's been in other horror movie staples as well. So, you know, he was, like, the theater director in Scream 2. He was in Urban Legends. So he's a known actor in that world. So I like him. I thought he did a great job with what he was doing. I'll go on to my low points. I don't blame the mom because the noise the kid was making was fucking annoying as hell. Like, shut him up. Yeah, please shut him up. Oh, he's just playing. No, he's not. He's screaming. He's like the son from freaking Babadook. It was that annoying. That screaming that was going on there.
Yeah, okay. Well, she's like not even part-time momming.
Yeah.
Like, you can fucking deal with your kid screaming for fucking 5 minutes. You're never there.
Right. You mentioned it before, the synthesized dog farts. Weird.
I don't know how else to describe that noise.
Yeah. Like someone just randomly hitting buttons on the synthesizer they got. Okay. But like I said, the decapitation scene was just awful.
But it was funny.
It was funny, but like to take it seriously, you can't.
Oh, no.
I mean, yeah, the plot twist that the governess was in the plot. Yeah, we called that one a mile away. It is pretty obvious. And let's face it, you know, of all the five people that died, how many were directly tied to Damien? Did he glance at and kill? Zero.
Right.
Zero.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. he's not scary in this movie at all.
No, not at all. So, and he just has side glances, and yeah, I mean, okay, the mom didn't die from the fall, which has been like 10 feet. Yeah, she's not going to die from that, you know, but the way she died in the hospital, yeah, she's dead. But none of these deaths, Damon was influenced in any way, shape, or form, which is when it's supposed to be about the evil, you know, son of the devil, the Antichrist. Why is he not actually more involved with the deaths? And it's just weird that, you know, oh, is your son born on June 6th? Yes. 6-6? Yeah. At 6 a.m.? Like, you can get another 6 in there somewhere else? It's 19. Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like a stretch.
Oh, I mean, to be fair, the whole movie seems like a stretch to me. But...
And I don't know what kind of money ambassadors make, but I clearly need to be an ambassador because that house was freaking huge.
Well, yeah, you don't. It's not really the money; it's the perks, right? Because like you treat the ambassador well, so that they speak well of you to their country.
Yeah. But and you know the guy being like 61, like God, he's like 40 years older.
Yeah, that again. This is how old school stuff is, man. It still continues over. I mean, like you know, DiCaprio doesn't date under what 20.
Yeah.
So.
I'm just like, I need to think about having a second kid at 60 something. Like, fuck no.
You know, that's the way that, well, it used to be at least in movie land.
Yeah. for sure. But
it's like, yeah, it's okay for, you know, a 60-year-old guy to be married to a 25-year-old woman. No issues. No batted eyes.
Right. But that's what I got. What about you?
Yeah. The weird dog fart noise was weird. I mean, every time they like looked at the dog or he did like his evil eye at the dog, I don't know. Again, I don't want to try to reproduce it, but it was bad. The music cuts in this movie were particularly atrocious, to where it was like they had like this blaring, like, you know, weird opera stuff, you know, where like Dominos, you know, like it's screaming at you, and then it like cuts in like a middle of a word, in the middle of a sound, and then it goes to like a quiet street.
Yep.
And it does that a lot of times. It's like, I don't know who did the editing in this movie, but they need to re-edit their own fucking movie.
They terrible. Did not pace it with the music chosen.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's like you could have like waited another beat and then cut, you know, at least it wasn't in the middle of a word, but no. Nope. Right. I will say the wife's fall was like the most ridiculously overwrought thing. Like she was falling 10 feet for like 30 seconds.
Yes.
I mean, it was like the slowest roll I've ever seen. I was like, yeah, that's just no way she's even hurt from that. Yeah, the monk, when they went and saw him, his face makeup was so bad.
You didn't like his burnt eye?
Oh, my God. It was terrible. It just looked like they just put a bunch of clay on him. Like, not good at all. And the other thing that I was like, you know, even back then, I don't think you could just have a bag full of knives on a plane.
What? You're an ambassador. Sure you can.
He just had a bag full of knives sitting on his lap in a plane. I'm like, I know we're a little more strict nowadays, but like I'm pretty sure back then he couldn't have a bag of knives with you.
Diplomatic immunity. Come on.
Yeah. It doesn't mean you get to go on a plane with a bag of knives.
From the Middle East? Probably not.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, wait a minute. But yeah. So that's all I got. So I did the out of this week. I decided to go with Suicidal Apostles because there's a lot of them. In all of these movies, he's got Suicidal Apostles. So how many Suicidal Apostles out of 10 did you give the Omen?
I was thinking about this. I'm thinking, did I like this Damien trilogy better than like the three parts of The Exorcist? I'm thinking yes. Does it make it necessarily good? No. I mean, is this a classic just kind of like, you know, Exorcist is? Yeah. Is it as scary as everyone seems to think it is? No, not in the slightest. But is it it's a pretty well put together movie compared to the next two, at least.
Right.
Yeah,
this is a coherent film.
Yeah. And for coherent sake, I will six Suicidal Apostles out of 10.
Uh-huh.
Trying to see what I looked up for did for The Exorcist.
Like the first one, again, the first Exorcist is a decently made film. I'll give it that. It's not as great as people say it is, but it's like, you know, it's a decent movie. I mean, I don't remember what I gave it, but it wasn't bad. The first one wasn't bad.
We gave both of them five. Both of us gave it five.
Yeah. Again, it's not bad. And I think this one's about the same level as that. So I'm going to give it's a five.
Okay.
Five Suicidal Apostles out of 10. Again, not bad. Pretty mediocre. There's nothing really scary happening here. A lot of the good outweighs the bad. it's just kind of there. But It's not bad. Like, I'm not angry I watched it.
No. I mean, I just felt none of these religious movies need to ever be close to damn near 2 hours, as they all are.
Yeah, they're all, like, an hour and 45 minutes, like, every single one of them. Well, I mean, all these three are.
Yeah. Like I said, the extras were damn near 2 hours as well.
Yeah.
And they just made them feel stupidly long. So. All right. What we got next?
So next up, we have Damien, The Omen 2. It's not The Omen 2 Damien. No, it's Damien, The Omen 2.
Yep. Because you'd get confused. You saw that the sequel is just called Damien.
Right. Yeah, so it's like, oh, wait, The Omen 2. But it should be The Omen 2 : Damien. That's how they always do the sequels, right? The third one got it right. The third one is The Omen 3, The Final Conflict. But the second one is Damien, The Omen 2. So,
yes.
Came out in 1978, Graveyard, Take It Away.
Yeah, so, you know, you wouldn't think this came out the same year as Halloween. They feel very different.
Yes.
Say that right now. So The Omen 2 is, they said, 7 years later. So even though it's 2 years in real time, canonically in this, it's 7 years later. So now this would be 1983, which still looks very much like the 70s.
Yeah, and they say the word pubescent too many times.
Yes.
Because Damien is technically pubescent in this movie. They talk about, oh, he's 13. That means he's pubescent. That means he's going to be a man.
Yes. So we're picked up, and now we're in Chicago. Of all places, right by us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. So let's see here. It starts off with, we're kind of introduced in kind of the subplot is that, you know, Damon's been living with his uncle, who is also a Thorn and is, you know, owns Thorn, was it Industries?
Yeah, whatever. Thorn, it's like they don't really say what they do. Well, I guess they kind of, well, they don't know. They don't actually say what it's doing. They just have, like, they do a lot of work with chemicals and experiments and things.
Yeah. Sorry, I really should start off. The first, I had to look this up. I didn't realize it was supposed to be a week after the first movie takes place. We, you know, our good friend Bugenhagen finds out that he's still alive. He's like, oh man, I got to get these knives over to, you know, whoever.
Which is very confusing to me, right?
Yeah.
So, like, he had two sets of knives with him in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? Why would he have two sets of Antichrist killing knives in a ruin?
Yeah.
I was very confused. I was like, wait, are these supposed to be the same knives? They kind of insinuate that they are. But obviously they're not.
They very much see what they are.
Right. But it's like, they're definitely not, because he definitely carried them on a plane to London.
Yes.
And I would assume they're in police custody in London.
You would think so.
Whatever. Yeah. Again, the third one gets even worse with it, but we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah. Yeah. So eventually, you know, we see, you know, Damon's face painted in the mural, blah, blah, blah. Runes clap 7 years later. Right, 1983, Chicago. Damien is now living with his aunt and uncle, who are just rich beyond belief, and his cousin Mark, who's a little bit older than him. Not much older, but maybe a year older than him. And we just got kind of exposition, like the aunt happens to live with them and just seems to be horrible.
Well, she's the caseworker from Beetlejuice.
She is the caseworker. I had to look at him like, is that her? It is.
Voice immediately, I was like, that's Juno the caseworker. I think that's the only other thing I've ever seen her in. But yeah, that voice is like, I've seen Beetlejuice a million times. So
yeah,
that voice, I was like, what?
Yeah. So anyway, the two boys, Mark and Damien, you know, go to a military academy where say their sergeant right now is Lance Hendrickson. Young-looking Lance Hendrickson.
I think this is baby Lance Hendrickson. I think this is as young as he gets.
Even though he's like 38.
I think this is as young as he was. Like, he came out this way, and now he just lives the rest of his life from that point.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, that's Lance. I'm like, he looks normal.
Yeah, I know. He's got, like, no grays, not many wrinkles. It's like, whoa. Yeah.
I know. Not an android or replica.
Right.
So anyway, you know, they're talking at dinner, the aunts with their friends, like, hey, Damien's bad. You should get him away from your son. They're like, what? No, he's been with us, you know, since his dad died. This is kind of what we do. She's like, oh, no, he's bad. And lo and behold, she just, like, has an aneurysm and dies.
Well, I mean, but she's also shitty to everybody. So
she
it's
is.
Like, no one is surprised that she's talking shit about Damien, because she talks shit about everybody.
Right, right. And, you know, she's... I don't know if it's an aneurysm, heart attack from the Raven. You know, she just, like, peers into its eye and then dies. And then it's like,
yeah, well, yeah. In this movie, Damien can do his look that kills through other things.
Okay. So anyway, like, you know, the mom, the aunt's like, have you seen our aunt? Oh, I knocked. She hasn't answered. Huh? Did you try opening the door?
Yeah. Oh, wait, what? We can open a door.
They show up a door. It's like, oh, shit. She's dead. Oh, well.
Yeah, that's literally they're like, yeah, whatever.
Yep. So kind of, you know, anyway, we get stuff here and there. We get to learn that there's a friend of the family with the best perm ever for 1983, you know, even in 78. And his reporter friends are like, hey, we are kind of finding a lot of stuff out. And there's a lot of weird things that happen here and there. You know, like I said, we're Damien and Mark are kind of at the Drill Academy. We see that there seems to be more people in Damien's life that seem to be kind of worshiping him and following him and serving him, which I think is pretty apparent of who they are. Lance Hendrickson being one of them. And the weird reporter dude, or the friend of the family, he's kind of also like getting him into stuff like this. Anyway, you know, we kind of go and learn that we go to Chicago, downtown Chicago, which we do recognize is actually Chicago.
Right.
But Thorn Industries is this impossible network where they have like roads inside the building and just like many different levels of just wide openness of vats. I'm like, that's not going to be in downtown Chicago in a high rise. No way.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows what the hell is going on there?
I'm like, that's not. No, I know how big those buildings are. That's way too much stuff for inside the building in Chicago.
Yeah. I think there was other things happening in this movie, and they just kind of like cut them all together to try to make some sense out of something else.
Something like that. So anyway, you know, we kind of do find out, you know, this woman is getting too close, and then she is really just killed by a single raven, who's, you know, essentially Damien taken over, pecks out her eyes, she falls into a ditch, and then on this desolate highway, because, you know, Chicago is known for its desolate highways, a truck comes, just runs her over, or should I say, the mannequin over. clearly, like, it hits her, and then all of a sudden, like, it's hitting the top of the truck. Like, no, she wouldn't be flinging over the truck.
It's, yeah, hitting the top of the truck, and then it slams on the ground with it when it hits it and moves it again. And they keep the camera on it. Like, usually when they use a mannequin, they cut away real fast.
Yep.
So, like, it's like, was that a man? Oh, I don't know. Like, I didn't have enough time to really see it. No, they give you, like, a full, like, 10 seconds to see that is clearly a mannequin.
Right. So that's interesting. And then, you know, there's football season, Damien's playing, and then, boom, it's winter. Hey, it's time for ice hockey. And, you know, they're playing ice hockey game. There's kind of weird things going on there. You know, the old guys are definitely out there, and then they go past, you know, the puck goes past the blue cone saying, hey, this is thin. Guy falls in there and starts getting taken away by the current. I don't know where the hell they're supposed to be in Chicago, but there's not currents like that.
I don't know what was happening there.
I'm like, where in Chicago are they? There's no currents like this. It's not on Chicago River.
But I was saying, like, okay, for how thin that ice is, like, there's a lot of people on that ice. I mean, there's like 30 people ice skating on there.
Yes, easily. And, you know, Damon was going towards the ice, and that guy stops and is like, no, don't do that. And then the guy prolongs getting under the ice. We see him getting taken by the current under the ice and gets to an open spot because there's a tree branch there. Like, we got him. And no, he's dead.
Right. I'll talk about this more later. But yeah, like, there's a bunch of people that die. And most of them, there's no reason for it. No. Like, there's no, like this guy that died on the ice, like, why?
No.
Like, was this an accident? Because they didn't show Damien doing evil eyes on him or nothing. There's no, like, threat from this guy or anything. Like, I don't understand what the point of this death was. It was just bizarre.
In retrospect, I think it's leading up to events that happen in The Omen 3. They're positioning him to take over the company. My guess.
I mean, I get that. But, like, you know, at that point, the uncle is still around.
Yeah.
So he's like
still the president, yeah.
Yeah, so what? Okay, you're killing off all these weird underlings. Why? Like, the lady I get, because she was asking too many questions. Like, okay, I get that one.
Yeah.
But, like, this guy, no idea.
Right.
I have no idea why this guy is getting killed. The next couple of deaths, I have no idea. No idea why these people. I don't know if there was another subplot that they just left out.
I think so.
Because it really felt like there was a second subplot that really just never went anywhere. And they just cut out all of the information, but left in the deaths.
Right.
Just so they had more deaths. Like, I was very confused as to what was happening in this movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So anyway, they're back at school and Lantern's just like, hey, you know, you get your powers. Like, yeah, I know. Cool. So anyway, they're going there. You know, we kind of learned a little bit about some of the VAT chemicals is they're doing like, pesticides in a high rise in Chicago. Sure.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, you wouldn't be making pesticides in a populated area.
No, maybe outside of Chicago, but not in Chicago, yeah. But they're in Chicago. I'm like, all right, whatever. Somebody's like, hey, can we all have a field trip of the plant? I'm like, yeah, let's go bring students to a chemical plant.
Yeah, great plan.
So anyway, this is going on there, and, you know, there's senior chemical engineer, right? It's like, oh, man, tell me they're about to enter this one room. Yeah, they're about to hear. And then, boom, explosion. He kind of melts. And, like, they kind of get toxic fumes. And everyone's like, oh, man, cough, cough. Except your son Damien here. He's fine. Oh, weird. Yeah, we need to keep him here longer. Okay. Draws blood. What? Let me look at the book. Let me look back at the microscope. Look at the book. Microscope. And he's like this big revelation. He's like, it's a jackal.
Well, okay. Now, here's the part I was very, very confused about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we see this happen in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he is looking at the samples and looking at his book going, huh, this is not normal cells. Oh, look, it's a picture of a jackal cell. Oh, I get it. The human's a jackal cell. He makes one phone call to a person in another lab, I'm assuming. Like, hey, can I come down and show you something? It's really weird.
Yeah, to floor 12.
Right, and he goes, okay. And then he literally puts the slide in a little book, gets on the elevator, and then dies in the elevator, right? Yes. But then in the next scene, the guy goes, oh, he called me and told me that there was jackal blood in your child. Like, we just saw that happen.
He didn't call
anyone and say that. Like, one, he didn't say that at all on the phone, and two, the only person he called was somebody else in the lab.
Yes.
Like, where did this phone call happen, dude?
I don't know. Maybe when the when the elevator went up four floors and suddenly then just dropped on the floor three.
Right.
He's like, oh man.
Like I said, fine. This movie really feels like it was like longer and they just cut chunks of it out or something. Yeah. Or like it was a different movie that they cut into this movie or something. I don't know. I was very confused. I literally had to rewind and watch that part again. I was like, no, he clearly doesn't tell anybody what he finds, and we see it in real time, and then he dies.
Yes, he gets cable goes through the elevator, through him.
Right, and then he's dead, and that's dead. It. Like, I know he didn't call anybody when he was cut in half.
Nope.
I was like, huh?
Yeah. So anyway, the daggers are found back again. They get shipped in. And like, oh man, here's the seven daggers. Here's all these pictures. Holy shit.
That's even, third one's even worse. Sorry. Yeah. We'll get there. I know. But
it's like, oh man, he's the Antichrist. And he goes to tell his friends like, oh man, your brother tried killing him for a reason. He tried stabbing him with these. Well, not those particular ones. Cause those were mailed to him from Bugenhagen. Right.
Right. That's what I was like. Are they trying to say those are the same knives? Cause they can't be.
No. I mean, I think they're saying that, but they're not.
I know. I was very confused. I'm like, so he had two separate sets of Antichrist killing knives with him at all times. What?
Yeah.
This guy's obsessed. And okay, if you're that obsessed, why the hell didn't you go with them?
Right. I don't know. So then we have to go to the next evil scene of death, right? He's walking through the woods with his cousin. Like, yeah, I'm the devil's son. He's like, oh, you want to join me? No. And then he stares at him, and he has a brain aneurysm.
Yep.
We don't see what he's doing. He just has weird powers, and this is the only time we see him look at someone and directly kill them. So.
We see him look at people and have them, like, freak out. But, we don't ever see what they're seeing or what's happening.
Right.
It's like things are happening, I guess.
Yeah. So anyway, the guy that was sent the knives from the museum is like, hey, you need to go see this because your son's dead and this is why. And then he goes onto a train, like, boom, and he train crushes him. He gets, like, coupled between two trains.
Yeah, okay. But the big thing here is that somehow they pulled the mural from the wall in Israel and put it on a train.
Yes.
I don't know how they did that, or one, why anyone would let them do that. Like, this is, like, archaeology. You can't just, like, remove walls from archaeological digs and take them to Chicago. You can't do that.
What?
They did that in the 1800s, but you can't do that anymore.
Correct.
Yeah, but anyway, the picture was, had a vague resemblance to Damien. I mean, right. It's literally painted on a wall, so you can imagine how close that would be.
Right.
Not very.
Which he looks like any kid at that point in time.
Right, but that is then definitive proof.
He's evil.
Yeah, the kid is evil. He needs to die. He vaguely resembles this mural that's somehow on a train in Chicago.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So he graduates whatever 7th grade, 8th grade, and from military academy, and he goes to take him to the museum, and he with his wife's like, yeah, I kind of known he's the devil, the Antichrist all along. I belong to Satan. Hail Satan. And now you die. And then Damon kind of just goes, you know what? I like The Shining. Remember the book, The Shining, where you made things blow up? I'm going to do that to the boiler. Boom. Blows up the museum. Pretty much it.
Yeah. That's.
I'll go into my first thoughts. Is I don't know if I ever watched this movie. If I did, I purged it from my mind completely and utterly.
I'm betting it's the latter.
Yeah. But I'm like, well, it wasn't bad like The Exorcist 2. So it was still a decent entry into it. And, you know, kind of continuation of the story. You know, is it scary? No. Do they just have, like, more elaborate death scenes? Yes, and they try to put a plot in the middle of them. What are your first thoughts?
This movie is a fucking mess. This movie is all over the place. There is, I mean, I don't know how many threads that they pick up and then just peter out to nowhere. Some of them just flat out drop. Some of them, I mean, I've brought up some of them. Because they're, like, impossible not to talk about. So we're, like, blatantly, like, you just watched a scene, and you know exactly what happened from beginning to end, and the next scene they're pretending like something else happened. Like, it's, I don't know if they refilmed some stuff, or they rewrote things in the middle. I don't know what happened here. But this film does not make any fucking sense. It's like, they just, like, piece together all these weird kills. It really has no plot. Like, it really, like, we were talking about this earlier. I really feel like they have an act one and they have an act two where they're like, they're finding all these clues and they're trying to put things together. The dad finally figures out he's evil. And then right at the end of normally the end of act two, where you're like, oh, you know, all the bad things are happening. We have to prepare ourselves and then go fight the evil.
Right.
They really go, oh, shit, our film's too long. Just end it. And they just cut off. And like act two just cuts off. And we don't even get an act three. Like Damien is not even involved in the final conflict of this film at all. Even though his name is on the top of the film, right? He's not even involved. Like, yeah, I think he was technically in the building. But like they go, okay, here's the knives we got to kill him with. The mom goes, ha ha, I'm evil. And then kills him. And then Damien goes, yeah, whatever, just blow up this thing and burned it down. Okay, we're done. Bye.
Yep.
Like, that's it. I don't, it's a fucking mess. It like, barely makes sense. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not as out there, like I said, as Exorcist 2, which I'm going to compare this franchise to The Exorcist because it's the other long-running Christian horror stuff that we haven't covered yet, like, you know. Conjuring and all the other bullshit. But what were your highlights then for this movie?
Okay. So I have baby Lance Henderson. Because again, I think this is about as young as I've ever seen him. And I'm pretty sure this is as young as he was. I don't think there's any pre to this age, because he's like, he always looks the same old age anyway. I did like seeing the old technology when they're like, oh, look at this computer. And it's got all these, like, you know, manual cranks and dials and stuff like that on it. It was like the size of a room. And it was probably just for, like, mixing, you know, stuff in one tank. You know, I mean, it was ridiculously old. And then seeing that old timey lab that they were in was pretty great. That's all I got. What do you got?
Yeah, Lance Henriksen was fantastic. Like, I didn't realize that was him immediately. I'm like, he started talking, I'm like, holy crap. It's Lance Henriksen. You're fantastic. I like you. Why are you in this movie? Yeah, I mean, like, evil corporations, evil because they're evil. What do they do? Evil. Okay. Cool. Nondescript stuff. I mean, it's nice being in Chicago, which we'll get into that in the low points, but I'm like, at least I knew the downtown area. And really, evil wins. You know, it's a bad ending. The first one was a bad ending. This one was a bad ending. And we like bad endings.
Okay.
For the most part.
I will say, I do like bad endings. I don't think this is an ending.
Oh, I mean, it ended.
It did end. Badly. Yes. The film stopped. I don't think it ended.
That's fair. I think the elevator death scene was done well. I did enjoy that. It wasn't as stupid as, you know, the head decapitation of the first one or the obvious mannequin truck scene, but it's still decent enough. That's about all I got for the highlights. I'll run to my low points then. I mean, like I said, as you said multiple times, the laboratory in the high rise in Chicago. Fuck that. No, it's not a thing. Sorry. Stop making a thing. Clearly you don't know Chicago. If you're going to shoot in Chicago, know Chicago, right? It's not that hard, you know? And like, they have this wide open property, like, and like, they act like Chicago is this countryside, and it's not. It's really not.
Again, I think they were trying to insinuate that this, like, military school was somewhere else. And I think the main problem here is that they never said where it was. Like, I think they're supposed to try to say that, oh, this military school is out, like, in the countryside somewhere. Okay. But, like, obviously people are getting there and home within an hour or two.
Right.
Right? I mean, because, like, characters go to things at the school and then they're in other places in the same day. So, obviously, it's not that far away. But they never tell you, like, where it is or how far away it is. We have no idea. There's, like, this limbo of
right
in between. We have no idea what they're trying to talk about or what's happening in between there.
Yeah.
I think that's the main problem. It's the problem that, what was that movie we just watched last? The Imaginary Friends movie, Z. So where it wasn't cutting hard enough between, you have no idea they're in a different house.
Right.
Because it's just like you're in one room, then you're in another room. But the other room's in another house, but they never tell you that you moved. You know, it's the same people, same clothes. Like, how are we supposed to know this is a different house?
Yeah.
I think it's that same thing. Is it doesn't really provide you with the information you need between the scenes to figure out where you are or what you're doing.
Right. Yeah, I can see. I definitely agree with that. And for it being about Damien and him learning that he has powers, it's really not about Damien and him learning he has powers.
No. Yeah, I agree. It's, again, I don't know what this movie was trying to do, but it wasn't even doing what it tried to sell itself as doing.
No.
You know? I mean, because, like, really, again, I mean, I'll talk about this when I get to mine, but, like, half of these deaths don't mean anything to him.
No. No. It's, you know, like evil corporations taking out people that might bring down the evil corporation. It has nothing to do with Damien.
Right. But like, somehow, like, they're trying to insinuate Damien did it. I mean, I guess he's acting guilty, so I guess you're supposed to believe he did it. But, like, it's like Final Destination stuff that happens.
Oh, for sure.
Like, he's not touching anything. He's not doing anything. He's just, like, looking evil or shifty when he's doing it. Right?
Right.
So, like, oh, it must be him.
Yeah.
But I don't... Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand it.
And then find jackal blood that fast. Like, this looks weird. Then you just have to have jackal blood, like, is it next to human blood for what it looks like?
Yeah, again, it would be like, oh, this looks like canine blood. It wouldn't be a specific breed of animal. You wouldn't know that.
Right. Yeah. No. That's what I got. How about you?
Okay. Bear with me here, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, this is a sequel. The only returning character is Bugenhagen. And he was only in it for like 2 minutes. So they had like the completely different cast. Same thing in the first movie, is anybody who in the beginning of the film that makes any kind of sense has to be a psychopath for some reason. Like in the first one, it's the priest that immediately goes into crazy mode, right? He's like, oh, I got to tell you something about your son. What's that? It's small. Like, oh, dude, you could have like eased into that a little bit. You know what I mean? Pump the brakes. You know, try to get him convinced first before you start going nuts. And this movie, it's the reporter lady who, again, they refer to her as a young lady. She's not young. She's like 40 years old. I'm like, that's not a young lady. But anyway, she like tracks this guy down on the street, like, you know, basically corners him into doing this interview. Like, oh, I'll ride with you to the airport. Like, you have no choice. Gets in the car. She's like, oh, hey, you know, so how do you like it here? Oh, that's nice. Did you know that your son is evil? Like, immediately, like, just jumps on it. Like, whoa. Pump the brakes. If you're going to try to convince someone that their own son is evil, like, ease into it a little bit. Try to give some evidence, you know, some conversations, like, things that, how you got to this point. Like, don't just scream at him. Of course he's going to fucking say, fuck you. And then she dies immediately, of course, right? And we get the ridiculous fucking mannequin, which is, I don't know. That has to be like one of the worst uses of a mannequin for a dead body I've ever seen. The music is obviously just stupid overdone. It's the same as the first one. It's like every time anything bad happens, it's like this, you know, Christian orchestra breaks out. They like to say the word Dominus. Or whatever other Latin they're screaming. I don't know.
I think it's just that.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yeah. That's like what I think it is. But again, some of the deaths in this movie don't make any sense. I don't know if it was something I missed. I was like trying to figure it out. I'm like, some of these deaths, you're like, okay, like if he caused these deaths, why? Like, I get the lady, right? She was like looking into him and trying to tell people he's the Antichrist. I get why she died.
Right.
The guy who found out he has jackal blood. I get why he died, right?
Yes.
Why did the guy get poisoned in the vat?
Because.
Okay. Like, they planned it. Like, he had to go there for this tour or whatever to kill this guy.
And let me know when you're in this particular room. Why?
Right. For no reason. Like, we don't get it, a reason as to why. What is the purpose of this? Like, he doesn't know anything.
Correct.
I was just, like, lost. The guy that died in the ice. I'm lost. What? You know, there's so many plot threads that just don't go anywhere. Like, oh, like he won his like cadet of the year or whatever. And he got a little sword and everything. Like, okay, the only scene that we see of him in school is him being a dick and the teacher hates him.
Right.
That's the only scene we get in the school. How did he somehow win the best in class award?
Because he was good briefly.
There's so many like just empty things. Where you're like, wait, what? You know, like, if he finally gets the knives, like, okay, now it's confrontation time. Nope. You're dead. Movie over. Like, Damien's not even in the fucking room with you. It's just over.
Yes.
There's just so many, like, threads that get picked up and thrown away and dropped. And this movie is a mess. again, like, you see this picture on a wall that, like, vaguely resembles your son. Murder time. You know, like, that's all it takes to convince you? Like, how do you know how old that thing is? How do you know they didn't just paint it? You know what I mean? How do you know that guy didn't paint it because he wants you to kill your son? But, like, he saw that, oh, murder time. That's it.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Oh, and this guy got killed by a train. The guy was, like, all jacked up, man. He looked like he was smoking meth or something. It wouldn't surprise me he got hit by a train. I don't know. There's so many things that don't make sense in this. But, yeah, I hated the ending. I just about hated this whole film. It was like the whole thing is a low point to me.
What?
Other than Lance Henriksen being in it, everything else just, again, I was angry for watching it because it made so little sense. So,
I mean, it's fair.
How many...
why don't you go first for the Suicidal Apostles?
Suicidal Apostles out of 10 for Damien the Omen 2. I'm going to go with 1.
What?
I did not like this film in any way. I don't think it makes any kind of sense. It's sloppy, like just terrible shit filmmaking, not only from the effects and the plot holes and the just the... Again, ending it whenever you feel like there's not even a climax. Like, your main character is not even involved in the climax of the film. I mean, just, I don't understand it. There, I guess there was another section of the film or maybe another film altogether that got cut with this, but whatever it is, it ended up with a big pile of hot shit on the ground. What did you think about it, buddy?
I mean, no, it's not good. I'm not, there's no doubt about that in my mind. It is not good. Now that being said, is it better than Exorcist 2? Like I said, I'm gonna keep referencing that. Yes, you gave Exorcist 2 a 0.1. So this is 10 times better.
Yeah, this is better than Exorcist 2. Not by much, but it is better.
Right. Am I going to watch this again? No. There's no way in hell. So I will give it a solid 2 Suicidal Apostles. Just 2 of them. For the movie that's not about Damien.
Right.
Let's face it, the next one should have been called Damien.
I guess. The final conflict.
There's
which
more
is...
Damien in it than there is in any other movie.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess, you know, the third one at least like kind of like owned up to its promise a bit. I mean, the final conflict I think is a little much, but like, you know, like showing the Antichrist trying to like rule the world, it did deliver on that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
The second one is just, yeah, I don't know, it's a fucking mess. I don't know what crazy people made it, but yeah, it's like an insane fever dream of a film, in a bad way, not in the fun way, in a bad way. So, yeah, the Omen 3, Final Conflict. We do get Sam Neill playing A young Sam Neill. 1981 Sam Neill playing Damien, who we're now fast-forwarded, obviously. What 20 years? He's probably, like, years. What, 30-something?
He's 32, because they mentioned, like, he's so young.
Yeah.
He looks like Sam Neill. Sam Neill looks like Sam Neill.
Yeah, sorry. Again, Sam Neill is in the same boat as Lance Henriksen. I don't think they were ever young. I think they were born at like 30 years old.
Like the wife goes, how old is he here? I'm like 32. He looks the same age as he did in the 90s. I go, yes.
Right. Yeah, like you put him side by side him in this movie and then in Event Horizon, and he looks identical. He looks
like,
the same.
I don't think I look old, but, you know, I think he looks older than me when he did at 32 than I do at 39.
Right. He just, yeah, one of those people. It just, like, they look the same age for such a long period of time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's what we get. So, yeah, we're 20 years later. So now Damien is the head of Thorn Industries, which is now the largest, they actually say this, the largest corporation in the world. So, yeah, he's doing that, and he's also involved in politics. I guess we should show the opening scene of the film is the existing ambassador to the UK. They don't really say who this person is at the time. They just say they like kind of a sort of an important person, and he sits down in some kind of official desk because there's like a seal behind him, but you don't get to see it long enough to see what it actually is or does. And he sets up this like goofy rig to where he ties a bunch of videotape to the doorknobs and then somehow ties it around the trigger to a gun, and the gun is in a drawer. It's not in his hands. The gun is in a drawer. So when his secretary opens the door, it somehow pulls the videotape enough to pull the trigger, which shoots him exactly in the head. Yes. It is bizarre. I was like, I didn't know what he was, because they don't show the gun. They just saw him fiddling around in the drawer. And they show him wrapping the videotape around. I'm like, what the hell is he doing? And then all of a sudden, boom, bang. Like, oh, that was expertly aimed from a drawer, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's how it starts. But anyway, so basically what happens is that Damien had set that up. So that was the ambassador to the UK from the US, the same job that his actual dad had in the first Omen film.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is going to get that job. So he's like buddies with the president, like literally takes personal meetings with the president. And he's going to take that job and he's like, oh, well, you know, I'm technically, you know, the head of this company. Like, I can't be an ambassador and be the head of that company. And he's like, oh, you know, that's okay. We'll bend the rules for you. Okay, so he's going to do that. He's like, and I also want to be the head of the youth council in the UN. I don't know what that is or what significance that is. I don't get that. I think they're just trying to sell that, oh, he's, you know, evil, so that if he has control of youth, like, he's going to make the youth evil. I think the point they were trying to make. But they don't really go into that. But he's obsessed with controlling this youth council and youth in general. But they don't say why. I think I that's what I gathered is what they're trying to push is that. Anyway, so he's basically, you know, as powerful as he's ever been. He's got all these, like, you know, people that are his, like, followers that know he's the Antichrist. And they're like his disciples or whatever. So he basically gets interviewed by this reporter lady.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we should go into the second plot first, is that there's a group of priests who they somehow find the daggers from the museum explosion and fire. A drill is drilling through the museum, and some guy finds them in the, like, the debris from the drill.
Yes.
And then he sells them to a pawn shop. Some guy buys it from a pawn shop and puts it up for auction. Some priest buys it from the auction. And then now this priest guy has seven daggers, the seven from, I guess, the first movie, which couldn't have been the same daggers from the first movie in the second movie, which we already kind of talked about. But I guess it's the movies from the daggers from the second movie. Sure.
Yeah. It's from the museum that blew up.
Right. Which is the second film.
Yeah.
We already talked about could not have been the same knives as the first movie.
Correct.
So it's the second set of knives that Bugenhagen carried with him at all times. Okay. Got it. So these seven priests get it. And of course, okay, I'm just going to say it right now because it upset me. I was like trying to figure out, like, what the fuck are you doing? Because in the first one, he says you have to bring him to hallowed ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to stab him with these seven daggers in the sign of the cross. Very specific about it.
No, each guy gets a dagger.
Right. Yeah, the second one, I guess that was what was going to happen, but we didn't even get that far because as soon as he found the daggers, the movie ended. And then this third one, yeah, each one of these seven priests all gets a dagger. And now all they have to do is stab him with it, doesn't matter where. But they stab him with one of these daggers one time anywhere in the world, and he will instantly die. Which I was very confused, but okay, sure. We'll say that that's how it goes now. Maybe as an adult, he doesn't need so much damage. I don't, whatever. So these seven priests are now on a mission to kill him. So he goes on her show to give this interview. One of the priests tries to kill him, and of course, fails miserably and lights himself on fire and hangs himself.
he died humorously. It's like the worst possible way.
I don't even think Damien had to do anything. I think he did that to himself.
Oh, Damien didn't do anything. He didn't even know he was up there.
Yeah, he did that to himself, and that was bad. Okay, so now we got six guys. But Damien does find the knife on this guy, so now he knows what they're up to. So then he kills three more, yeah, because the old man was, like, trying to lure him out, and then he finally followed the old man. Oh, no, hold on. I guess we should go into, there's, like, three plots. The second plot before the old man dies is they find some kind of, like, star configuration that, like, they don't explain what the hell is going on at this point at all. They don't explain to you why this is significant until way later. They're, like, going to these conservatories and talking to astrologists, like, astrologers, whatever, star people. The star people about what this significance is and like what the, oh, like where is this going to beam down? Okay, it's going to be in this 50 square kilometer area. Okay, like after it happens, we can narrow it down, blah, blah, blah. Like that, but they don't tell you what the fuck is going on, like why they care and why they're like taking a break from killing the Antichrist to care about the star thing. They don't explain it.
It's the Nazarene star.
Yeah, but they don't tell you that until later.
Correct.
So all the subplot, they're talking about this fucking star and you're like, what is going, what, why do we care about this? Like, aren't you gonna kill the Antichrist? Like, your one buddy already died doing it. Why are we taking a break?
But stars.
Yeah. So that happens. And anyway, now we go back to the other people because we don't revisit that other thing until later. So now we get three other people, that the old guy who was looking for the stars and two of these other priests. They lure him out to like the middle of nowhere and try to like jump him in this like ruin. But somehow the Antichrist disguises the old man as him. So like as soon as he walks through the door, the other two guys stab him to death. And they're like, oh no. And then they get killed too, right? So then, okay, now he's got four knives, right? Because those three guys plus the guy that tried to kill himself, that's four of them. There's only three left.
Right.
And then he goes on this long, bizarre fox hunt. Like, you know, the old school fox hunt. I was like, is this really how fox hunt goes? I guess it is. There's like 30 dogs. Like one guy who actually knew what he was doing, and then just a bunch of old dudes with guns.
Yes.
I guess that's what a fox hunt is. I don't know. I've never been on one. I've heard lots of people talk bad about them. If this is what they really are, I know why they talk bad about them, because they seem pointless. But anyway, so of course the Antichrist gets separated because the one bearded dude was like pulling this switcheroo with a dead fox.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And he led the dogs to this dead fox, and somehow no one else followed these dogs, even though that's the point of the fox hunt. So the rest of them all went in one direction, and then the Antichrist with all the dogs went in another direction. And they all left the Antichrist alone. The two guys got him on this bridge. So like two guys with knives, one on one end of the bridge, one on the other end of the bridge. So he tries to like, one guy tries to push him from one side and fails miserably. Of course, he just, you know, basically trips and falls and kills himself. Like he's on a horse and the horse gets scared and just throws him off. He falls right off the bridge just immediately. And the other guy is like, okay, I guess I'll do this by myself. And then Damien just goes, take him. And the dogs attack and kill him, even though they're like, you know, little dogs. But they do. So now he's got six knives. So now there's only one knife left. And this old man is like now smart enough to go, hey, maybe I should just attack him head on. That seems like a really dumb idea. So then we go through this whole bizarre subplot of like, yeah, this star is aligning, make a Jesus baby appear. They never call it Jesus baby. They call it the Nazarene.
It's Jesus.
It's Jesus baby. I don't know why they just call it Jesus baby or Christ baby or something. It makes it a lot easier. I'm like, why do you keep saying Nazarene? That's more syllables than you need to say. But they keep saying it anyway. So they're like, oh, the Nazarene was born between midnight and 6 a.m. on this day. We have to go kill every single baby in the whole country that was born on this day to make sure that we kill all the Jesus babies. So we have to kill all these other babies. And he gets all of his like thousands of followers to just go, okay, yeah, we'll go kill babies for you. No problem. There's bizarre scenes of like Boy Scouts killing babies. And I mean, they don't show the baby dying, but like
No. The
Boy Scouts are helping him. Like his like secretary dude is helping him and stuff. And of course, you know, there's like the news lady that he's kind of sort of like dating, right?
Yes.
That he did that interview to. She's all like, it's kind of weird that like 20 babies have died. And I guess one of the satanic people went on her show and was like, oh, no, that's not weird at all. Shut up, stupid lady. And then, you know, she's discredited, I guess. I don't know. A sick English burn is like enough to shut you down in that country, I guess. Yeah, everybody's like, yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter. A bunch of babies died. Who gives a shit? And then the priest goes and tells his secretary's wife, because the secretary's baby was born, he says, 10 minutes before midnight. But Damien is like not convinced. He's like, no, no, no. We need to kill your baby too. So like his like number one guy is kind of like, hey, maybe I shouldn't, you know, be hanging out with a guy that's telling me to kill my own baby. But anyway, the priest tells his wife that, oh, he's killing all these babies. And here's the funny part. When he gets home, you know, she's like, oh, this priest told me you're killing babies. And he's like, well, no, why would I do that? Here's the proof. Are you fucking telling me that this guy, who's the head secretary to an ambassador of the UK and the US, wrote down all the babies that he killed?
Kill Jonathan on right. this I'm day.
Like, are you fucking kidding me? Why would you put a paper trail of the babies you were murdering? What the how stupid are you? I was just, my mind was blown. Who would write that down? But apparently she, you know, he did, and she found that out. And then she's like, oh, you know, you're super bad and evil. And then that just kind of gets dropped. Because the old man goes, oh, the baby's safe. We don't have to worry about it anymore. So now we have to lure the Antichrist to somewhere where we can get him. Right? We have to tell him the baby's here, and then he's going to go try to kill the baby by himself. Even though he has thousands of followers. Nope, he's going to go kill the baby by himself because we tell him, you know, it's going to come there. So they use the girlfriend to lure him in because there's a bizarre, weird sex scene. And then after, like, she gets kind of like in this weird, I guess, BSDM thing that she seemed like she was into at the time. But I guess that was enough to convince her, oh, he's the devil because he, like, you know, did weird things in bed. That's it. And then like her son was like obviously one of his disciples, and then she saw that how like, you know, the son was like, oh no, I'll do whatever you want. So the Antichrist was threatening to kill her son unless she showed him where the Jesus baby was. Why she would know that, I don't know. But that's the plot. So that's what happens. So she leads him to the place that the old man told her to go to. The old man jumps him and stabs him. You know, there's an epic battle where they were shaking at each other, but whatever. So the old man dies, and then she ends up stabbing him while he was, like, talking to Jesus. Like, the ghost of Jesus, I guess.
Yes.
So he was talking to the ghost of Jesus, gets stabbed. He gives one more monologue, and then falls over dead. Movie over.
Yes.
There's some other scenes in there where they showed how evil Damien was, where he had a lot of these monologues where he was talking to a crucifix of Jesus, like saying how he was going to like corrupt all the young people and make them evil, and how he was going to control the world, and how weak Jesus was and how strong he is, blah, blah, blah. That all stopped as soon as the baby was born. And he got obsessed with killing this baby. Again, it was a funny ass line in the film to where he goes, the baby was born and I'm losing all my power. And I'm like, okay, wait, so you lost your, like, magic ability to, like, look at people and kill them, sure, but, like, you're still the CEO of the biggest corporation in the world. You're still the ambassador between the UK and the US, and you're on the fast track to be a senator in 2 years. Like, the president's already on board with that. Like, your political career is set. You're super rich. You're the head of the biggest corporation in the world. You still have thousands of disciples willing to die for you and kill fucking babies for you. On what planet do you not have any power? Like, why are you obsessed with this baby? Like, who cares, dude? Like, again, if you're talking shit, like, he's having all these monologues with Jesus telling him how better he is than him. Like, okay, then why are you scared of the baby then? Why don't you just go, okay, yeah, now you're here. Now we can go one-on-one. Like, right. That should be, like, that would be a, you know, level of strength. Like, you know, evil is strong. No, it's like, immediately, as soon as this weird baby subplot comes in, he just changes gears.
Yes.
Bizarre. Anyway. Yeah, that was what I got. What was your first impression?
It was just haphazardly thrown together. It's like they made a sequel. It's like, all right, we got to do another one because people are going to love these slashes more than anything else. Let's stay on this Jesus train. But, I mean, I think we kind of learned where The Conjuring gets its loose threads from. This franchise.
Well, again, I know I've said this during The Conjuring. I said this during the first one. But I think a lot of this comes into, like, religious dogma, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're, like, invested in that, I think this film is very scary to you.
Yes.
Right? Because it's, like, the embodiment of all the things the church tells you to be scared of.
Yeah.
So, like, to you, I guess that might be scary. Like, to me, it's not. It's just, like, pointless. Like, you give some guy magic powers that sometimes work and sometimes don't. Okay. I mean, the guy would be able to cause much more damage with his, like, earthly stuff that he has. You know what I mean? I don't know why he's scared that he doesn't have his dog murder controlling powers anymore.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a poor attempt at keeping this franchise going is really what it comes down to. I like Sam Neill a lot. But, yeah, this movie wasn't spectacular. You want me to do my highlights first?
Yeah, why don't you go on your high points, buddy?
All right. Like I said, Sam Neill. Sam Neill was fantastic because he's just good at what he does. He puts everything into it, I feel like. You know, I don't feel like he was acting like, oh, this movie is shit, therefore I'm gonna do shit. He did all he could with it, I think. It's just a weird subplot. I mean, I guess it is the final conflict, though, so the title does live up to it.
Yeah, it's really just the slapped on thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, hunting a baby, and then all of a sudden at the, like, literally, like, last 30 seconds of film, like, Jesus' ghost appears.
Right.
Doesn't say anything, doesn't do anything, he's just there. So, like, I guess technically you could call it the final conflict if both of the Jesus-type people are there.
Yeah. But, I mean, I did like that, you know, just showed that evil corporation is evil and these people know he's the Antichrist. Like, yeah, we're still with you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it didn't, like, you know, like, oh, I lost my power. It's not like those people stopped following him. Like, I don't know, like, where exactly did you lose power? I don't understand.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, people like, you're the Antichrist. You know, so what? Yeah, you know, whatever.
Murder babies? All right, yeah, if you say yeah, so. Sure. Yeah, sure. I mean, if that's what we gotta do, I get it.
That's about it. What are your highlights?
Okay, so, I really did like that videotape suicide scene. I was very confused about what was happening. I'm like, what? What is he doing? Like, is there a gun in the drawer? Is there, like, a sandwich in the drawer? Like, what is he doing? And then all of a sudden, bang. Like, oh, I guess what's happening.
I did like his foot was still twitching, too.
Right, yeah. It was like a flop, flop, flop. It's like, okay, that's interesting.
I thought for Zane, like, doing some, like, self-asphyxiation. Just like,
yeah,
like, you know, I'm like, oh, he's into a kink. Okay.
Right. And yeah, I agree. Sam Neill was great. I will call out specifically, like, his monologues that he did with that crucifix, they were really good. Like, he was, like, into it, man.
In one take, too.
Yeah, he was doing, like, I mean, it was like a full Shakespeare monologue. Like, it was, yeah. I mean, he did a really good job. Like, it was, those were powerful scenes. It's weird that it's only him and a, you know, piece of wood, but.
Right.
They were really good. I thought he really sold that scene. The Hellhound was back. The Hellhound didn't do much. The Hellhound was back, and the dog farts were back too.
They were.
And that was great. But yeah, it was interesting that the dog was gone the second film and then came back.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the 1981 cell phone that is in a briefcase and a full handset and, like, all these dials and switches and knobs and shit. Oh, that was great.
Even though this is 1991 in canon-wise.
Right, yeah. But here's the 1981 briefcase phone that was probably weighed like 100 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was great. Okay, that's it for high points. I'm going to roll into my low points. Yeah, that knife retcon, dude. I was like, wait, what? Like, I mean, they were very specific about it in the first movie. One has to be on hallowed ground. Two, you have to stab all seven knives into them in the cross sign of the cross in order for it to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, second movie, they died right after they found the knives, didn't get a chance to even talk about it. Okay. That's out the window. And the third one, it's like, oh yeah, all you have to do is stab them with this knife. Doesn't matter where it is. Boom, done.
Yep.
Okay. I guess. And then they decide to like try to fight him, like, you know, in little groups. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you, like, if the first guy tries to fight him alone, like, okay, now you just gave it away that people are now hunting him with that knife, so now he's definitely gonna have an eye out. Like, you guys are idiots. But yeah, it was ridiculous. That whole stupid thing was ridiculous. The lightning effects were horrifically bad.
Yeah.
it was like following him down the stairs. Like, since when does lightning go through windows and climb downstairs?
Clearly you haven't dealt with the Antichrist weather forecast.
I guess so. The fox hunt was ridiculous. I already talked about that.
Yep.
Okay, now here's where the big questions come in. Are you ready?
Yes.
If you're fighting the fucking Antichrist, do you think the church could have given up more than seven old dudes?
No.
Like, all that church is, oh, guys, hey, church, we're fighting the Antichrist here. All we have is these seven knives. You want to send them some fucking backup? Like a fucking church SWAT team or something? Some money to hire some mercenaries? I mean, like, come on, guys, you're the church. You're clearly all about bureaucracy. You've been around for centuries. Don't tell me you don't have some kind of, you know, safety net you can call in or something. What the fuck, fighting them by yourselves?
Pope John Paul II was clearly busy finding urinary tract infections, okay?
They don't need to go that high. You could have talked to anybody else. They could have given you something. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is, the Antichrist is there. Like, they have the evidence.
Bring on the end of days.
Yeah. They have the evidence. And all you've sent is seven old dudes?
Yes.
That's it? That's all you got?
And not only old, but one of them was clearly inept.
Right. They were all. Oh, man. I was just like, that's it? Like, shouldn't every priest in the fucking world be at your back?
Yeah.
But, okay. Sure. And again, here's another big question. Why the hell would you ever write down that you killed babies?
Anthony.
Would anyone do that? Unless you're like a serial killer who's like trying to shock somebody. Why would you ever write down that you killed children? Bizarre.
Yeah.
Okay. The sex scene was bizarre. Like, oh, he's evil because he likes to do some kinky stuff.
Yes.
I guess in 1981, that makes you evil. Like, yeah, she wakes up and she's got a couple of bruises. Like, you know, I know some people that are into weirder shit than that, but we'll leave that on the table. And then he was like, at the end, this is the funny part. Like, he had all his friends murder all the babies, right?
Yes.
And then at the end, he's like, tell me where the Nazarene baby is. Tell me where that Jesus baby is. And then he's in this building. And then he's going in the building talking shit. Like, I'm going to fucking kill you. Like, it's a baby. Like, what are you going to do? Have a fucking, like, martial arts fight with a fucking baby? Who are you talking shit to? Like, who are you talking shit to? It's a baby. I was so confused. I'm like, is he trying to fight a baby? Yes. Why is he talking like that? It was so bizarre. And then at the end, like, the baby wasn't even there. And all we get is the ghost of Jesus that we see from far away.
Yeah.
That's it. And then it ends. And I hated the ending, too. But, like, so you're going to fight a baby, Sam Neill, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's all I got. What do you got, buddy?
I agree with everything you said. Yeah, like, you know, yeah, it's been 20 years, but, like, who's drilling into, like, the museum burnt down? Like, what are they fucking drilling into?
Right. I was like, wait a minute. It's a museum. I guess it's like the same thing as like, hey, is this like an ancient temple? Let's just cut this wall out and send it to Chicago. I guess it's in the same team that made that decision is like, hey, isn't this a museum? Just start drilling through it. We'll find some shit.
Right. And they just happen to find all seven daggers drilling a boring hole to get into it.
Right.
And I understand this is Chicago, but a building doesn't generally sit empty like that for 20 years in downtown Chicago, and then decide to drill into it after 20 years. Oh, they must have found the daggers at the museum. No shit. Or maybe there's a third set.
Maybe that happened like right afterwards, and then they sat in the pawn shop for 20 years.
Maybe. I don't know. And Aaron's just like Aaron's talking like, he looks so young to be a, you know, ambassador. No, he doesn't. No,
he looks like he's mid-30s. Like, how old is an ambassador supposed to be?
Right. And like he left to be president of the biggest evil corporation in the world to go be an ambassador. Like, okay.
Well, he didn't leave. The president made him a deal where he didn't have to. He could be both.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, this is insane. Like, he copied essentially the Apocalypse X-Men villain mentality of, oh, man, my main plan didn't go through. I'm done. Like, you still have lots of shit, as you pointed out. Lots of other stuff.
I was saying, like, exactly how did you lose your powers, Sam Neill?
The Nazarene baby. Okay. Right. I'm like, okay, so what if you weren't in England where the Nazarene baby was? Like, you could just not been there. It's a baby. I'm not going to go find you.
I'm saying, like, dude, the baby's got to grow up.
Yeah.
You got at least 10 years before that baby poses any threat to you.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, the guy having just the murder stuff there. And, like, that, like, what are the chances of that? What if that plan didn't happen where they hit the woman in the head with their volleyball and then she dropped it? Like, that was a poor planning. Like, all their, even their, the villain's kills were just ridiculous. And, like, the guy that's just in the catwalk and just, like, murders himself to death.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to jump down and stab him. Oh, no, I fell down and got stuck in a rope. And then I got wrapped up with plastic and then set on fire. It's like, and I think they were kind of trying to insinuate, like, oh, that's Damien that did that. Like, what?
No, he didn't. It was the guy on the behind the TV camera that noticed that the catwalk was moving. Damien didn't look up once.
Right. Yeah. I was like, very clearly, this guy just killed himself. But it was funny that he was the first guy to try to kill him with the dagger by himself. Like, okay, like, you know, he walks through public places. Why don't you all just, like, you know, walk around in a public place and then try to all stab him at the same time? He can't, you know, Final Destination 7 people at the same time.
Well, I don't even know what his plan was. Okay, he's on the catwalk. Was he going to jump down from the catwalk and stab him? He's going to break his feet.
Yeah,
doing
he was
going
to do a leaping, you know, superhero jump from the catwalk and stab him in the head. I don't know what he was going to do.
Yeah. And then I don't know if it's tradition that if it's on your first fox hunt, then when you get killed, you get bloodied.
Well, I've heard the term blooded before. I don't know if that's what that means. I literally know next to nothing about fox hunts. Before this movie, I knew it involved horses, red jackets, goofy hats, and a lot of dogs. That's it. That's all I knew. And they hunt foxes. That's all I knew. I knew I never wanted to do that. I'm like, why would you hunt fox? Foxes are kind of cool. But that's it. That's all that I knew.
But
so,
they picked up the trail of a different fox. Like, no, they're bloodhounds. They're not
right.
going to go after,
like, okay,
a different
fox. Yeah, there's 30 dogs. Like,
yeah.
Some of them are going to go one way. Some of them are going to go the other way. You know what I mean? Like, they're not all going to... If there's two fox scent trails, they're not all going to follow one.
Right.
Yeah, it was... I don't know. I don't understand. And then the whole thing was, like, this is a fox hunt. You need those dogs to find the fox. But yet all the dogs left with the Antichrist and the rest of them just wandered off to do their own hunting, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, and then of course the dude shoots the fox and then replaces it with another fox. I was very confused. I'm like, wait, what? Why did you kill the fox if you were just going to replace it with another fox? Is this a magic fox? No, there's not.
No, nothing.
I don't get it. But he fired shots. Like, okay, gunshots go pretty far. Like, you're right next to the people. Like, they would have heard gunshots.
Yep.
I don't know. These folks are such a mess. They're like, I don't know. It's almost a job trying to figure out what the fuck they're trying to say.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, that's about all I got.
Okay, so Omen 3, Final Conflict, number of suicidal apostles out of 10, graveyard. What do you do? Or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first. It's bizarre. It's messy, to say the least. I still give it a 2. It's still not great. We give Exorcist 3.6. Yeah, it's definitely better than The Exorcist. So, 2. What about you?
Yeah, this one's slightly more coherent than the second one. At least it has like an ending. I mean, Sam Neill gonna fight the baby is not much of a climax, but at least it is. At least they included an act 3.
Right.
I get slightly higher. I'll go 1.5. 1.5 Suicidal Apostles out of 10.
I told you this franchise is going to be rough.
Oh, man.
Probably not rough as Exorcist, but still pretty rough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point, like, we get one that came out 10 years later, which is, like, about a different, his kid.
Right.
I'm guessing they're going to say, you know, when he had the weird banging session with the lady, she got pregnant.
Sure.
I'm guessing. We don't see the rest of his sex life, I guess. But if it's she's 10 in that movie and this is 81 and it's 91, I guess. And then we have a reboot. And then mm-hmm. we have a prequel.
Yes.
So, oh yeah, hopefully they abandon the fucking ridiculous shit that they're doing in these movies, but
probably not.
Yeah.
All right. Bring us home.
All right. So we're taking a break from the Omen franchise to watch. Let me check my notes here. More Antichrist Child movies.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not? We'll get to see how these same themes of evil children born from demons are approached by other teams of filmmakers without Damien or his progeny. We'll be watching Immaculate, which is pretty new, just came out this year. Rosemary's yep. Baby, which is definitely not new, came out in the 60s. And Fear No Evil, I have no idea when that came
81.
Out.
81.
81, okay. So, yeah, we got a good mix of time periods here. But don't worry, we'll return in 2 weeks for the remainder of the Omen franchise, including the newest one, the prequel, The First Omen, which just came out, what, a couple months ago?
3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, whatever. So we'll see how those are.
We'll see if it's true that everyone's saying that Immaculate was what the first Omen should have been.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, Rosemary's Baby is better than these, and it's the same kind of story, so.
Yeah.
We'll see. That one I have seen. I have not seen the other two, but Rosemary's Baby I have seen. Anyway, so remember, we watch bad movies, so you don't have to.
And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.
Night.